All right. Well, now that I've totally fucking missed the fact that there was supposed to be a show tonight, and I'm pretty sure that everybody who's supposed to be joining me is long gone, I'm here. And this is what happens when you get too engrossed in a technical problem with the computer and don't take the time to look and see what time it is until someone says, "Oh, hey, aren't you supposed to be somewhere?" Yeah, so feeling bad for FS at the moment. I know Jeanette's, are we going to kill me? But that's all right. In the meantime, let me see. I'm going to get the chat room open. Let's see if we can do something, anything. Just hang in there. Sooner than later, I'll get to where I need to be. Sorry, folks. I made a major ubu on my part. Unfortunately, that's kind of got the entire balance of the show thrown off. So, wonder if Jeanette will call in sometime soon. It just depends on what she's got going on here. I know I said I'd be here on time, but again, I got so wrapped up in trying to figure out this fucking Linux shit that wasn't watching what time it was until someone reminded me. Here we go. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm sure you were confused.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you had forgotten or if something had come up or what had happened.
It was more along the lines of I just installed Linux on my laptop, and I've been trying to get certain features to work right. And I just got so preoccupied with trying to get these features to work right that I wasn't paying attention to what time it was. And so it just happened to pop into SynChat to try to get the webcam working. And someone said to me, "Hey, aren't you supposed to be on the news right now?" And I was like, "Oh, fuck." So.
All right, yeah.
Here I am. Here we are. Completely unprepared, completely engrossed in what the hell I was doing. Still trying to shut down VirtualBox. So. Oh, yeah, fuck it. I'm going back to Windows, man.
I'm not sure about Linux. I'm really, really afraid of that, actually. I'm afraid that I would never be able to do anything.
A lot of it's really, really cool. It's just the things that I actually like to do, of course, have to be the things that are really complicated. But if you're just, like, you know, doing whatever, socializing or going on Facebook or going on Sin or looking things up on the internet. It's definitely a much better system than Windows. You don't have all that antivirus shit eating up your system resources. So, yeah, it just depends on what you want to use it for.
Well, there's several Linux junkies at Sin. I'm sure you could find somebody to help you with that.
Yeah, here's the thing. All the help they give me tends to seem to make it worse. I mean, only one that's really given me any good advice has been Sean. And, well, you know, if you can catch it between his random meanderings about this or that.
Yeah.
So, tonight we're supposed to be talking about influence, if I remember correctly.
Yes, influencing others.
Well, I think I was more looking to kind of, I mean, influencing others is obviously a key portion of it, but I was kind of looking more at what the ideas of actual influence are. I mean, whether we realize it or not, we're kind of susceptible to the idea of influence in just about every way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would certainly agree. I'm a big believer that, you know, whatever you immerse yourself in, you start becoming whether you want to or not. And it's almost by osmosis. I mean, you know, like my husband is a great example of this. If he's in a room full of black people, he talks like a, yeah, you know, like really, really ghetto. He doesn't do that any other time, but it's just an example where, like, if he's around people long enough, he just sort of winds up taking on those personality characteristics a little bit.
Yeah, I think that kind of thing actually exists on multiple levels, too. It's not just necessarily personality conditionals or, you know, traits. It's if you're in an area, for instance, that's repressed in general, you tend to have a more negative attitude. So, you know, if you're a ghetto for a long period in time, you know, you tend to have a real down outlook on life and, you know, kind of get that survival of the, of the fittest mentality, only it's not quite as glorified as that. It's more like, gotta watch my shit, because if I don't, everybody else would be stealing my shit. And then while you're at it, you're looking at other people's shit going, how do I grab that?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I would definitely agree. Since I've made my move, it's been a very big difference just from the environment. You know, I'm used to PTA meetings and, you know, other catty mothers. I'm not used to, you know, dealing with some of the elements that I am now. And it's weird because I'm adjusting very quickly because I'm immersed in it fully. And, yeah, it's starting to affect my general outlook on life, which I'm really surprised about because I've always been a pretty positive person. And I'm starting to really get kind of negative lately, like, you know, kind of hopeless feeling all of a sudden, and that's not normal for me at all.
Right on. Yeah, it's definitely a product of your environment. There's some things that I have noticed just in myself over, I don't know, the span of my 12-year career with Phantom Fireworks. They sent me off to China a half dozen times or so. And while I was there, I spent the majority of my time actually hobnobbing with the wealthiest of the Chinese people. And so it was kind of a cultural shock coming back, not so much as going there. Because going there, you know, you very quickly get spoiled, very easily get to where, you know, you expect everything to be like it is. Somebody at your door in the morning with a newspaper and a cup of coffee. There's, you know, the fourth floor has complimentary foot rubs and so forth. And that kind of thing, well, when you come home to the United States, you know, and you open your door at 7 o'clock in the morning expecting a little Chinese guy to be standing there with the coffee and newspaper, it's, and it's not there, it really kind of, oh, wait a minute, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I can see that. And that actually sounds like a lot of fun. I bet you've enjoyed those trips.
Oh, absolutely. Real quick, we've got a caller that's calling in for whatever reason, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them on.
All right.
111111, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
We're good.
I'm good. I just wanted to let you know that I am the son of the devil, and I actually am coming to kill all of you stupid bitches. Fuck you all. Fuck you, nigger, 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 nigger. Kill babies, nigger. Fuck niggers. Fuck you, bitch.
Okay, so you have Tourette syndrome? Am I understanding that correct?
Fuck you, nigger, 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 nigger. I love you, nigger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to...
Okay. Somebody doesn't really too much time on their hands.
I don't know. That's great. That's great.
I was surprised it was email, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That's better than the other troll that we had that was just playing clips from, what, Zach videos and stuff?
Yeah, it was...
Yeah.
So we've developed a new troll.
Yeah. Oh, good. The son of the devil? That's going to be fun.
Yeah. She kind of fucked up right there, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was the point. I was like, what, you're the son of the devil? Yeah, I thought it was a woman until towards the end. Yeah.
Well, that was a woman until towards the end. There are obviously several people there who thought they'd make some kind of good time out of it. That's, I don't know, the perfect example of what happens when people have nothing better to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's also fine. I think that the ooze is going more viral than it has before because it's starting to pick up these little oddities, you know. Obviously, more people are at least know it exists than did before.
Right on. Yeah, actually, the numbers completely reflect that. It's kind of the most peculiar thing about it. About 2 months ago, we were dropped down to just about 2,000 listens, and this past month, October, brought in well over 3,000 listens again. So, some folks are either regaining interest or a whole new set of people have... discovered us and just haven't benefited yet.
Yeah, well, I wonder if it's the Outbreak Edition Take Action series that's doing it, because that's an entirely different thing from what's been really done before on the ooze, and I think that appeals to a broader base than just, you know, people that are interested in LHP.
Right on. Well, I assume that would have something to do with it, but unfortunately, I don't really have any kind of tools to give me a good measure as to which shows are the most successful other than like the total archive. And to be honest with you, it's pretty steady. I mean, there's only one show, and that would be this one that hasn't really picked up steam. Then this is hell, what, our second broadcast, the third broadcast, mm-hmm. if you count last week's. So.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, well, good. That's good. I'd rather be on one that's picking up steam than the least amount of listens ever.
Yeah, it's picking up steam, slowly but surely. Don't worry. If I would not do dumb things like I did tonight, we would be all right. I mean, there's a perfect example of influence. I was allowing my, my technical nerd side to influence the rest of my behavior to the point I was fixated on just trying to get a certain feature working. Mm-hmm. instead of paying attention to everything that I actually need to be doing. So in terms of self-observation, I fail right there.
Oh, yeah. I hate that when you find one that you just kind of have, where you messed up a little bit. I always hate when that happens a little bit. Yeah, no, I think that, I think influence is a very interesting thing. I mean, when you look at it from, you know, the way parents influence in either a positive or a negative way, I mean, you know, like, I know that I'm still very affected by my childhood and the way my parents were towards me, you know. And, you know, you see these little things every day where it's like, that never went away, you know. Or people with really strong personalities wind up affecting an individual in really profound ways sometimes.
Right. You know, the thing that I have found most interesting about the idea of influence actually kind of manifested when I began to try to take some understanding as to what the ONA define as an insight rule. It was not too long ago that Mindfucks talked to me here in the news at just giving a wrong description of what insight rule really is. But it was that there that kind of prompted me to look into what it was exactly they were talking about. What, in fact, they were talking about was immersing yourself entirely in particular influence and doing it without control, without actually, you know, setting parameters to yourself for yourself. You know, but basically saying this is who I'm going to be from this day forth until, you know, this day in the future, and I will no longer allow who I was before that to actually influence my thinking.
Yes.
And the idea was that come the end of this period of time, and I think it's 1 year is what they do is like a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You would just click the switch off if you could and see what was left. You know, see what of your core self was actually still there and left. I think that this is kind of interesting in the fact that it's sort of a reverse manufacturing of the same concept that Gurdjieff was trying to express when he was actually discussing the, you know, use of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well.
Please, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, no, I think that I think the idea of an insight role is a very fascinating thing, because I think that if you want to figure out who you really are, it's probably the most effective way to do it, because if you actually completely immerse yourself in something different, you might find out that things that you really thought were innate personality characteristics aren't. You know, I mean, I'm having that experience quite a bit lately, actually, where it's like I'm starting to lose my sense of self. Like, I've always thought that certain things would always be there, and the things that are remaining are things that I never expected to, and by the inverse, the things that I've lost, I would have sworn up and down, you know, from a logical perspective, no, that's me. That's absolutely me. It always has been, and that will never change.
Right, right. It's a way, and only one particular method of actually getting at what the essence of your being is. And I think that this is why it's important from the aspect of self that you engage in some form of, and I hate to use the word divination, but for lack of a better classifier, some form of self-divination or self-observation role. But here's the kicker, and the reason why this whole show came up in the first place, I think, and that kicker is this. Once you understand the effect that influence can have on yourself, once you have those tools firmly in place, then you're now able to look around at the others around you and decide who you can create influence within and manipulate the very same tools that you've learned to break down and take apart to achieve goals. LaVey talked about this in the sense of lesser magic, and Crowley did about the equivalent of that as well. But there's definitely a layer of personality that reaches beyond the conscious mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I certainly agree.
That layer is what we actually want to look to kind of adapt. One of the things that I've studied over the past couple of decades, I guess, is hypnosis. And more specifically from the standpoint of the pseudoscience neurolinguistics programming. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's common practice in that is a mimicry, if I can say that, of self. And mm-hmm. what is actually done is that the hypnotist tries to mimic the breathing pattern, the facial expression, the body language of the hypnotee, if that's the word. Your subject. And by mm-hmm. doing this, you trick the subconscious mind into believing that this is in fact an extension of itself, and it becomes easier to create suggestion this way. Well, once you have that in place, and then you have an idea of what influences you can inject into that layer, it becomes a lot easier to start to achieve that personality or soul is what I like to call it, of the person. You know, soul in my mind is kind of, it's the ability to influence. It is the ability to project self. You ever meet a person and they just had this natural layer of charisma around them where no matter what they're doing, they always seem to kind of stand apart from everybody else?
I've seen that. And I would certainly, I like that as a definition for soul is, that's a better qualifier than some of the more metaphysical terms that are thrown around for that.
Right on. I mean, the thing about these metaphysical terms that you're referring to is that they weren't necessarily negative connotations or misinterpretations, but was highly romanticized practical ideas. And I think this is a thing that a lot of people who come from our school of thinking kind of fail in catching, that we in fact are borrowing off of these romanticized practical ideas, which is why it's really cool when you get somebody like Dan Dredd who comes in with that, you know, Occam's razor and just kind of shaves it right down to what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Demystify it, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think that, I've never had a lot of, I've always liked other metaphysical schools of thought for precisely that reason. I can sort of see that there was something logical that they were attempting to interpret from a metaphysical stance. Yeah, and it's always interesting to me, when somebody comes in like that and just kind of rips it up and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's it. That's all it is, you know.
Right. Well, I think, for a long time to get around the thick level of dogma that organized religion had kind of veiled over everything. These kind of things were dressed in this romantic allegory to kind of preserve the actual idea itself. And I hate it when people actually throw the baby right out with that bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
Just to me, it seems you know, silly not to take a few minutes and kind of sift through to see, you know, where that fetus is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I would certainly agree. I've always been, you know, I mean, especially in, you know, my interests have always been very occultish outside of, you know, philosophical practices. I don't know how to explain it. I've always said, you know, I actually like the fantasy. You know, I like the ideas that, you know, are perpetuated there. I think they're somehow, I don't know, I describe it more like soul food. Like, it just makes you feel better. You know, it might not be the best thing for you. And, yeah, you are, you know, playing with what could definitely be considered something that's, I don't know, you know, very loosely pretend or an abstraction or whatever. But, you know, those exist in everything. So, you know, why not take and use what you want, throw away the rest, and alter it the way that you please?
Right. Well, I mean, I'm actually kind of under the impression that that's the entire point of living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the ground up, that is it. That is the entire part of living. To be constantly casting the ore into the fire, so to speak, and pulling it back out to hammer it a little stronger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I definitely agree. That's why I think that experience is so important, because I think that, you know, you can think something at all you want, but as long as it's theoretical, you really don't know it the same way that you do if you've actually done it.
Now, we had talked for a bit when we decided to do this particular episode on this subject about maybe trying to find one particular point during that week that we had actually successfully influenced somebody else.
Yeah.
I had an example in mind of something that actually did occur, I would say almost damn near the hour that we were supposed to air this show originally. I had had to do a quick move in a hurry, and as a result of that, I couldn't get onto the internet. Well, I was anticipating that I would be able to get back on the internet just in time for the show. But they had sent me, well, what they had done is they had taken the house number and they got it all right except for the actual lot number. The lot number was actually reflected on the road in their paperwork, so it was their fault that my equipment didn't arrive at me on time and that my service was not actually turned on to the right address in time. But, you know, Verizon being a pain in the ass, they want to take a good solid week to fix everything, whether it's a mistake or not. Through this whole process of talking to this lady on the phone and doing some troubleshooting, I was able to, by simply mimicking the level of rationality in her voice and her communication style, convince her that it was their responsibility, more particularly her responsibility, to push through and get the internet service problem taken care of as quickly as possible, which unfortunately happened to be the very next day. And they couldn't get somebody out that night, but she had me on the phone for about an hour and a half trying to get somebody out there that night to get it fixed. That was a perfect example of how this technique that I'm talking about, this mimicry, actually does create a suggestive pattern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I would certainly agree. Yeah, it does. Anton LaVey goes over it in the Satanic Witch Project quite a bit, where he talks about, you know, once you've got them lulled into that sense that you're like them, that's when you can, bam, hit them with what you want them to do in order to, you know, get what you want accomplished. Now, that's highly effective. I use that on and this is kind of a silly example, but here you go. My mother-in-law was supposed to take my kids on Friday night, but I didn't want her to. I'm kind of, we're into it at the moment over a host of things that are going on. So I called her to, you know, she was like, she said, so when can I pick up the kids? And I started talking to her. And basically what I did was I drew out, she's very frustrated because she's actually taking care of her own mother who's got Alzheimer's at this point. So I just started, like, talking to her about, like, all of her troubles and ills and how bad the week had been with her and how stressed she was and all this. And then I offered to just keep the kids at my house so that she wouldn't have to deal with the stress of them, too. And it totally worked. Like, she, yeah, like she's like, oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you can da-da-da-da-da-da, when at the end of the day it's what I wanted to begin with. And she literally thinks I did her a favor by, you know, doing that. Because they've been keeping them on Friday night pretty much every week for years now. So, yeah, that was highly effective.
Absolutely. I mean, that is a perfect suggestion.
Yeah.
Well, a perfect example of this subconscious suggestion that I'm talking about. So, well played.
Yeah. Well, she's one of those people that if you get her to get focused on the negative long enough, she winds up she's negative to begin with. So it's not actually that difficult to do, but you know you have to kind of. That's one of the things. Like you definitely, I think, to do it right, have to kind of know the person or sort of figure out who they are personality wise, or else it can backfire and backfire badly actually.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's a dangerous game to play, that's for sure. The thing of it is, mm-hmm. though, that by constantly engaging in that type of behavior, you begin to pick up a sixth sense, so to speak, with it. You start to just kind of get this natural feel for, you know, when that person is ripe for the suggestion. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have actually made the complete science out of this at this point. Advertising agencies in specific, mm-hmm. you know, they know how to get people thinking in the scheme that they want people to think in just long enough to plant that suggestion that, hey, you need this. And, mm-hmm. and that same concept trickles out into many different ways. And so I guess with all of that being said and done, it's important, again, to engage in these kind of things. But it starts off by knowing, you know, how you work, recognizing moments when you've been influenced. And I can think back in particular to a fucking T-shirt that I wanted really bad as a 14-year-old boy. Ozzy Osbourne had just released this really kind of cool T-shirt with all these, like, ghoulish dudes who had all been castrated, and it was sort of glow-in-the-dark, and I was sort of a fan of Ozzy, but not to the point that I would be as willing to do some things that I was to try to get my hand on this T-shirt. What I had figured out, though, is over time, the idea of having the best concert shirt amongst me and my friends was like this big deal. Whoever had the coolest shirt. Like, I had this Ministry shirt that had a big mosquito on it, and the mosquito had a hypodermic needle in place of its usual, whatever the hell you want to call that thing. And that shirt was revered, but then Slayer came out with that whole Rain and Blood CD, and there were a couple really cool T-shirts that, I'm not even sure if that was the name of the CD now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I think it was Rain and Blood. God, I'm old. But the whole deal was that the influence of my friends having to top me and the T-shirt department and that competition there had strived for me to win something that I just wouldn't probably have normally wanted.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I can think of a lot of instances where influence is definitely, you know, I've picked up something that I didn't really know that I probably wouldn't have, you know, wanted it as much as, you know, I did from the influences around me. A great example of that actually comes from when I was a little kid, there was a Valentine's Day edition Barbie that came out. And my best friend had it, okay? And I actually, I didn't like the blonde Barbie dolls. I always played with the brown-haired ones because I have brown hair.
Right.
But I wanted that doll so bad because she had it. And I did, the things that I did to get that doll were absolutely insane. And I remember when I got it, well, because I got it and I opened the box. And when I opened the box, like I took it out and I rubbed her hair. And when I rubbed her hair, her head fell off.
Yeah.
It was like the perfect, you know, like, and it was a, you know, when I was a kid and I think that thing was like $20 and, you know, that's in the 80s. So that was a lot of, you know, doing chores and, you know, doing stuff outside of just stuff at the house just to get that doll just for its head to fall off. I remember it because I actually thought to myself, I was like, I will never want anything this badly again because its head fell off, you know. And actually, it was funny because my dad returned it to the store, and there was a big, you know, my dad, like, took it back. And then I got a new one, and its head stayed on. But that the fact that the first one's head fell off, I think, affected me more than probably anything else in my life. I mean, it was quite devastating, you know, when I was holding its head in my hands. I was like, it broke. You know? It turned out they had a defective shipment come out. You know, it wasn't that big a deal. But, yeah, to me, I was like, no, you know. And in a small way, I remember that, too, because I wrote it down. And it was one of my first quotes because I collect quotes. It was, like, the only quote I got for myself, which was that everything you really want will always break.
I think that's an excellent quote. So,
mm-hmm.
Because I didn't think that this topic would really be, I don't know, too fantastic. I'm thinking next week. Given that I actually show up when I'm supposed to and all that good stuff, which I'm normally good at doing. Next week, maybe we should talk about use of sexuality. You know, what ways you can use it, that kind of thing. Because I think that women and men can both use it for different tools other than just, you know, attracting that perfect mate.
Oh, yeah, no, I would certainly agree with you. I actually did a blog on that today. I touched on that lightly. Yeah, no, I would actually like to do that, yeah, very, very much.
So let's do that next week. Let's talk about, you know, sexuality as a psychological tool next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, I like that idea.
Right on. So we'll go with that. Trying to think of anything else I want to cover. I'm so fucking thrown off by the fact that I actually, like, was late to my own show that the whole thing I'm surprised if was there's 15 good minutes on the show from me.
I listened to that highlight edition, by the way, with that guy. I thought he was pretty interesting. I didn't say that. He was a pretty interesting guy. I felt like he was plugging his book, but, you know, he was pretty good, actually, as a guest.
Yeah, yeah, he was definitely good as a guest. I think it's kind of the whole idea of the Highlight Edition was to give people a space to plug what they're doing. So I wasn't offended by that. It's not like some people where all they want to do is talk about their stuff. He came on, we had some really good conversations. Conversation, whichever you want to look at it, as I felt like we touched on so many different small topics that we really didn't come to any conclusive end on any one particular idea.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we'll have him back here sometime in the future. I had thought see how my communication goes with him a little more, but I thought about offering him some kind of like monthly special on the ooze. You know, go ahead.
I like that idea. I like the idea of the ooze branching out further than just, you know, Finn in that immediate circle, especially. I think that it needs to get beyond that in order to get, you know, what you want done.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I'm actually, there's something I've been meaning to talk to all the co-hosts about. I'm going to start kind of getting, put Daryl kind of in charge of public relations and getting things more uniform, because it's kind of getting out of my immediate sphere of control. And so if you receive some kind of communication from Daryl, you know, he's trying to help shore things up and develop this so that we do actually reach that goal.
Oh, no, I think he's a great pick for that. He actually sent me an email. He wanted me to talk to you about him being made admin for the Ooze WordPress so he could post blogs and stuff on there.
Oh, he's not. I wonder. Yeah, I could probably do that. I have this thing about slowly giving people, you know, that. The reins. I don't like to just open the door and say, here, have free run at it. You know, I know I can trust the dude. I mean, I've known him a year, but on the other hand, people do weird things when they think they have some kind of power. So it's just a matter of my comfort level being satisfied, and I don't see
issue. Oh yeah, I agree. I also think that the blog he did for it should be mirrored on the WordPress site. I thought that was one of the best promotional things I've ever seen for the show. I was really, really impressed with that, actually.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm going to, you know, hopefully over the next week work with him and get my comfort level where it needs to be. I mean, there's obviously no reason to mistrust him. It's just, again, it's a psychological thing with me. I'm kind of a control freak in ways, so.
I think that's a good thing, especially when it's your baby. I mean, you know, especially like, you know, I mean, this is kind of your baby. I mean, it's developed and it's starting to take on its life of its own. But no, I would certainly, yeah, I would definitely say, you know, be comfortable before you start handing stuff over. Because, yeah, no, you don't want to get it to where, you know, I mean, you get one person, something gets messed up and, you know, stuff gets crazy. And I don't think Daryl would do that. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's happened before on, you know, and you hear horror stories about it all the time.
Right on. But, I mean, as far as I thought by making him a contributor on that blog, he would be able to actually post blogs. But if I'm incorrect about that, I'll go back and change his status and have him try again. But if you talk to any of the rest of the co-hosts before I do, just let them know that Daryl is, in fact, working in collaboration with me to help us push this further forward.
Is he going to be hosting or co-hosting any shows? Because I actually think he'd be really good at that.
At this point, I'm kind of wanting to rely more on his inquisitive nature and using that to kind of sharpen up the face of the Ooze, so to speak. And then in the future, if he wants to do something like that, we definitely can talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that works. Yeah. No, he's got a pretty razor-sharp intellect. I definitely think that, yeah, I think he's probably one of the best picks out there for that.
Yeah, so that's my plan as it stands. We got just enough time to roll the outro. So, you know, it's been good. And I'll talk to you next week. I promise I'll be on time.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
Good luck with your what you're programming.
Right on. Thank you.